It's time for another great episode of the Geekly Speaking Podcast, your weekly peek into the world of gaming geeks. Grab your controllers and hold them high as we welcome the host of the show, the Big Geek.
All right there. Thanks, Chloe. I appreciate it. And welcome everyone back to the show here. Now, I am the Big Geek, and I'd like to welcome back. This guy is famous. He's infamous, even. He is the coffee shop killer, a.k.a. John. And making his Geekly Speaking debut is a man that has just, you know, so many podcast hosting duties out there, including the official Gonna Geek show, All Things Good and Nerdy, Chris Farrell. Chris, John, how you two doing?
I'm doing well.
We had football back today. I got to watch a bunch of Red Zone and play video games, so living the dream.
I didn't get to.
There you go.
We had a huge project today. Me and my three girls and my wife, we completely ripped apart our family room. She wanted to change it all up, but we moved everything away from the walls. We washed all the walls. Then we repositioned all of the furniture in a totally new configuration of her choosing, of course. And I got to do all the heavy lifting.
Of course.
And unfortunately, the TV was not hooked up most of the time down here, so I didn't get to see any football at all. And I'm upset because I wanted to see those fake fans in the stands.
It was mostly just cardboard ones that I saw. I didn't see them doing a bunch of like the CGI ones. Like they're doing that all the time in baseball, but I haven't seen it in football.
Yeah, I didn't see anything like that.
It's creepy.
I do remember this was right after, I believe it was one of the first baseball games that were aired. Somebody had snuck, or they just did it on purpose, but a cardboard cutout of Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's. Did you see that?
I saw that. That was pretty great.
That was awesome. And that makes you want to just keep looking at the stands all the time and see what you could see up there. Maybe it's a lot of celebrities possibly, or, you know, other things like that. Maybe even cartoon characters, maybe like Bart Simpson or something. That'd be hilarious.
That would be pretty great. Although they're always pretty Sue happy when it comes to those folks being in the stands. So the baseball teams and whatnot might be like, yeah, we don't want to put Bart Simpson here because then Disney's going to sue us.
Possibly. Simpsons or Disney? I guess I didn't
realize that.
Yeah, because they're owned by Fox.
Yep. Jeez, Disney is buying everything.
Yep.
Probably going to buy the Gunna Geek Network soon. That's what I'm thinking.
That means I might get paid then.
Oh, yeah. That actually would be good for you guys. And then they'll have you. Hey, they'll be like, Chris Hemsworth, we need you to go on Gunna Geek. I do an interview for your new, what's that new one called? Thor and Horny? What's the new one called?
Thor, Love and Thunder.
Okay, there we go.
Your title might be better.
Yeah. I'm Thor and Horny.
What did you play this week?
All right, guys. Well, let's go ahead and get this started here. So this week, I was out recapturing my youth. And when I mean my youth, I'm going to say, okay, I was in my 30s when the game came out. But to me, that's still the youth because, you know, that was 20 years ago. But I was playing a classic Game Boy Advance game. And these games hold up great. I love Game Boy Advance games. And I was playing Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga. Now, have either of you guys ever played this series?
I have not.
No.
Dave and I were talking about it. It might have been, I can't remember if it was off the air or if it was on one of the episodes, but this is an action RPG type game, but not like you'd think, like a Zelda or something. It's like a platformer RPG. And what is so cool is you run around the world doing platform type things, you know, jumping on different levels, etc. But you see an enemy and you jump on the enemy and then, you know, it transitions to the battle screen like you see like in Final Fantasies and all that kind of stuff, Dragon Wars. But it is turn-based, but you choose what type of attack you want to do, and then it's all about button precision timing. So like say Mario, he's just going to do like a stomp. As he's jumping right before he hits the enemy, you hit the button, the stomp button, and if you time it just right, you'll double your damage. When they're attacking you, it's not like the other games where, you know, they attack you and you just take the damage and it's a roll of a die of how much damage you take. Here, if you time a button press just right, you will completely dodge the attack. So it's so much fun, and there's been a lot of these games. This is the first one. technically, this started with the 16-bit Nintendo's Super Mario RPG. This one's a little bit different because there's more timing and it's more, I would say this really hit. Like if you ever played Paper Mario on the N64, that has the same type of battle system, etc. So it's just a ton of fun. Now, I started playing the original release that was on the Game Boy Advance, but then I remembered, dude, why are you playing this? They completely remade the same game on the 3DS. They enhanced all the visuals, etc. So I loaded that one up and, oh yeah, so much better. I love this game so much. Definitely check it out via emulation, or if you have a Game Boy Advance or a 3DS, pick it up, definitely. So, John, what did you play this week?
I just started playing the new Marvel's Avengers.
Oh, man, that looks good. Is it as good as it looks?
It is fantastic. Like, I think the gameplay, you think it would get monotonous, but it won't. Like, each character has, you have to get to a level 100 of 150 is the max.
Mm-hmm.
And just playing it alone, the mechanics of fighting, you can fight, what, 5 different enemies and dodge every attack while they're attacking you and hit them too. But it's so much more, it's more than just a normal fighting game. They did a lot of work into it and I really enjoy it. It's actually like you're almost fighting with buttons instead of just button smashing.
What system are you playing it on?
Xbox One.
Okay.
Oh, I was going to say, they released this on the 360? That's cray cray. Now, I've seen that video that they released, what was it, 2-3 weeks ago? Where they were playing, what was it, Thor? I think it was, even though I made the joke earlier, but it was definitely Thor they were playing as. And the one thing that concerned me is because Thor is a god. I mean, it's like, why does he have to hit these just, I don't know the storyline, but it just looks like it's just standard enemies. And he has to hit them so much and they can actually damage him. So, John, I guess I need to ask you this since you've played it. What's the story behind this and why can these just run-of-the-mill looking enemies actually hurt Thor?
Well, I mean, he's not really just a god, though. I mean, he's a person. If you even watch the movies, he's still a person. He can still be damaged by people. He's not impervious. He's not like the Hulk. The Hulk can still take damage from people. He's not impervious to damage either.
Well, it depends on which movie you watch because, I mean, it seems like bullets just ricochet off of the Hulk in some of them. But my question here, I guess, is speaking of that, Hulk Ragnarok, I mean, Thor took just a massive hits from the Hulk and is still going.
Yeah.
Are these enemies that you're fighting, are they just humans or is there something special about them?
I think they're just humans. I've only played a little bit because I jumped into the multiplayer right away, which is frowned upon. So I'm not too into the storyline yet, but I believe they're just humans that infiltrated the S.H.I.E.L.D. network again.
Okay. I mean, I understand they have to do these type of things because if they make them too powerful, the game is not any fun. It's like a Superman game. Superman 64, best game ever, just to let you know. but you know how they make Superman not as powerful in some of these games? Otherwise, you just fly right through the game and win it. I do understand that.
It's going to be interesting with that Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League game to see how they make it so that Superman's beatable in that game.
I saw the first Suicide Squad. I don't remember a whole lot about it. I wasn't too terribly impressed. But who in the Suicide Squad could even step toe-to-toe with Superman?
That's what's going to be interesting because the game makes it look like the team is just King Shark, Harley Quinn, Deadshot, and Captain Boomerang. And you wouldn't think any of those folks would be able to take Superman. But who knows? The whole premise is you got to take out the Justice League in that game with your motley crew of misfits.
I was going to say, maybe the witch could too. What's her face?
It's true. Magic. Superman's doesn't have any resistance to magic.
Yeah.
Our sun makes him super strong. Maybe a full moon would make him impervious to magic? I know, it's dumb.
But no, you're making Thor out to be more than he is. He's still a human. At the end of the day, he just
he's
can
actually
regenerate.
Not a human.
I know, but he can regenerate faster is the only difference. He can still die.
He can still die, but it seems like the only people they start getting the best of him are not standard humans. I mean, look at in the one Thor movie where Loki was controlling that walking tin can that was shooting flames out of it. I mean,
the Destroyer.
Yeah.
That got the best of him, or was getting the best of him, and then he destroyed it. But then
once
what
he
about
got his power
you know,
back.
What about George Costanza? So you're saying George Costanza could take on Thor because Thor's just human.
I think you get a difference between how Thor is portrayed in, say, the comics and the movies than what has to be done in video games to make for a helpful gameplay mechanic. Like, if Thor could just go in there and wreck face, everyone would play as Thor because you would never get beaten. And I'm not sure how fun that would be.
Yeah.
It'd be fun for old guys like me that just wants to see the ending.
That's why they have an easy mode.
You know what? They should rename that easy mode senior mode.
Oh, yeah. Old man mode.
Yeah. All right. So, Chris, then, what have you played this week?
So, I've been on my PS4 mostly this week, which is an oddity for me. But it's mostly because of the fact that I didn't want to buy this game on PC. It is Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout. Have you guys heard of this one?
Yep.
I have heard of it.
I do have it on the PS4. Got it for my daughters. So what do you think of it?
It is my fun palate cleanser game because you can sit down, play for 10, 15 minutes, get a couple rounds in, have a little fun. For those that aren't aware of the game, if you think of that old television show, Most Extreme Elimination Challenge, MXC, that was on like Spike TV and stuff like that, it's basically a video game where you run in stupid races and try and beat people in races or steal things from people, and you fall all over the place, and it's just stupid fun. And the nice thing is, if you get frustrated, at least for me, that frustration passes real quick because I'm like, oh well, I'll just start another game and fire it back up. And it is a nice break from a long day of work, or if something's just been a crappy day, you just fire that game up and you can screw around for a little bit, and you don't have to commit a bunch of time to it, because the other game I've been playing takes more time commitment that I don't always have, say, an hour or two to sit down and play.
Now, I played a little bit of this, and my daughters had too, because I saw that it was free on the PS4, so of course, it sounds like you, we downloaded it just to give it a try. It's 20 mm-hmm. bucks on Steam, so it's like, yeah, good choice, free on the...
20 bucks on PS4 now too, because it's no longer one of the free games.
Okay. And I played it for a little bit, a few matches here, and one of the matches was where you had a tail. And
yes,
you didn't, you had to keep the tail, and you didn't, when the timer run out, you want to have a tail. But you could not control your guy right.
The collisions are weird in that game. Like, you don't think you're close to someone, and all of a sudden they yank your tail off you, and you're like, what the heck?
It's like, I hated it, though, because I was almost to the very end of the game. I'm seconds left to go, and I'm jumping around crazy trying to get away from people so they don't steal my tail, and somebody stole my tail at the very end.
That's exactly what happened to me, and then thankfully another game I was able to steal a tail with 2 seconds left and just sneak my way into the next round. So then I felt better about myself.
Yeah, and I've only played 2 boards. My girls did play a bunch more, but the other one I played was where you had to... You're running forward and you have to jump through doors, and some of the doors don't open.
Yeah. That one's pretty fun. And that one, my plan is always to stay in the middle of the pack so that I can see who's getting through a door and then just chase them through that.
Oh, I always like to try to lead the pack. So that's why I'm always, you know, hitting into bouncing back.
Yep. That's the tough part with that one. But yeah, Fall Guys is what I've been playing to kind of give me a palate cleanser. And then the other game I've been playing is also on PS4, and it's old because it's been out for a while, but it's Detroit Become Human.
Oh, I've never played those.
By Quantic Dream, and it's one of those that's really intense storytelling kind of game. That it's not super interactive from a gameplay perspective, but it's super interactive from your conversations you're having with people, choosing the right dialogue options, reconstructing crimes, things like that. It is really fun, but it is really exhausting sometimes because you're like, okay, what decision do I make here? And then how is that going to impact the rest of the story? Because when you complete a level, it gives you like a flow chart of, okay, here's all the decisions you made, and here's all the paths that branched off of that. And then it shows you what all the other paths possibly were, but it has them like blacked out so that you can't see what they are. So it encourages you to replay and take different paths in the game. Hmm. And for people like me, who played RPGs like the Mass Effect series and things like that, that wanted to always know what the entire story was, it means I'm going to replay this like 3 or 4 times to try and understand what the full story is, not be able to unlock the full story, then go watch the entire gameplay footage on YouTube probably.
Now, before I had a PS4, just because you're talking about that, I was hearing a lot about this game, and I'm trying to remember what the name of it is now. Oh, why does it fail me? But basically, you're playing this boy who befriended this giant bird dog. Do you know which game I'm talking about?
I don't.
All right, so he's this giant dog that has wings, and you're trying to escape out of this tower or something. It's a pretty vast game, but I watched the ending. I had to, you know, fast forward to the end of it to see the playthrough because I kept hearing so much stuff about this. And it's true, the end is actually almost a tearjerker what happens. I don't want to spoil it for you because you have a PS4, so you might play this sometime, and I'll try to look up the
Is this The Last Guardian?
Yes,
is
that's
that what it was?
Okay. Yeah. It's amazing how they can, you know, drag these feelings out of you in games. I mean, it's happened to me forever. I remember playing Super Metroid, and at the very end, I'm almost dead from Mother Brain, and that Metroid comes down on top of you and transfers all its energy to you. And after it does that, then Mother Brain kills it, but now you're supercharged with some super attack, and you just finish off Mother Brain. And I thought that game was sad when that died, but then it was awesome feeling when you were just super powered and took on Mother Brain like that. But games, you know, they do. That could be a whole nother show. Talk about the emotional feelings you can get by playing games and how they can actually portray all these feelings and bring them out of you. But I guess we're getting a little off topic here. So us
going back to Fall Guys, though. Because I haven't had a chance to say anything.
Sorry, dude.
It's okay. So, did you ever play the game where a team-based game where you take balls and you put it into your own net type of thing?
Basketball?
No, it's on Fall Guys.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, I was watching this video online the other day of it, and the guys in the lobby noticed that they were streaming, I guess, and they noticed that they got a hacker in the lobby. And it was the funniest thing because there was one hacker and the guys on the team, I guess everyone just on the whole game band together to make sure that they lost. Like even the guys on the hacker's team band together to like take the balls out of their court just to throw it away. It was the funniest video ever. Huh. It was like the Fall Guys, even the lobby companionship is good, you know?
Okay.
It's like a chaotic good lobby.
So have you been playing it, John, or did you just see some videos?
No, I've seen videos of it. I don't know if it's on Xbox or not. I've been trying to play mostly Marvel, and then I want to play For Honor because I just downloaded it for like $5. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Fall Guys is only PS4 and PC currently.
Oh, it is? Well, that's weird. Yeah. I wonder why they did that.
They signed some kind of exclusivity deal with Sony, is my understanding. So I think that's a timed exclusive, so... Rumor was, and I can't confirm this because it's just something I read in passing on Reddit, it was like a year-long exclusivity contract, and then potentially Nintendo and Microsoft could get it too.
Yeah, usually Sony takes everything from everyone.
Like my Spider-Man DLC in Avengers.
All right, so why don't we go on to the main topic here? Now, this is a topic we've all been waiting to talk about here. So, Microsoft has finally announced... You know, fully announced the release dates, the pricing, and the two models of the upcoming Xbox Series. I guess we call them the Xbox Series consoles because now there's two of them. There's the high-end Xbox Series X, and then there's the more economical, I don't want to call it low-end, but more economical Xbox Series S. There are some differences. I mean, they're going to be able to play the exact same games, you know, so you don't have to worry about that, but there are some differences in it. Now, they both are running on Zen 2 processors, and both of them still have 8 cores, but it's 200 megahertz less the Series S than the Series X, which when all is said and done, 200 megahertz isn't that different. So you got 3.8 gigahertz for the Xbox Series X, and then you got 3.6 for the Xbox Series S. Now, the big differences come in the GPU. They're both AMD processors, but the X has 52 computing units, where the Xbox Series S only has 20. So that is a big difference. And they're also clocked a lower frequency for the S. So that is a big difference. But, and here's what I'm trying to think, because they're not going to make two versions of all of the software. You're not going to have to go to the store and go, hey, I need a Series X version or a Series S version. The same one is going to work on both. You know they're going to optimize it so it's going to be able to work the same, but just with enhancements for the X. What do you guys think about this? Do you think this is a smart idea? Now, there's some more stats I'm going to, specs I'm going to go through here, but I just want to get your guys' feelings on this. I guess in general, what do you guys think about releasing two simultaneously new consoles, you know, one of them is quote unquote hampered. At the same time, I mean, is this a smart move for Microsoft?
I think it's an interesting move. And I think where it becomes most interesting is the biggest difference, and you probably haven't gotten into it yet, between the S and the X is that the S console doesn't have a disk drive in it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are wanting backwards compatibility for your entire library, you might not want that. But where they make it compelling is it's $300, and while it doesn't do 4K gaming, it does 1440p, I think is what it was.
Yes.
Something like that at 60 frames.
Mm-hmm.
You're paying $300 a month, and if you get Game Pass for the $15 a month for the Game Pass Ultimate, you have an entire back catalog of all sorts of games you may never have played before. And $300, it's a lot easier to be like, oh, I'm going to spend $300 buy this new Xbox than it is to say I'm going to spend $500 on a new PS5 or an Xbox Series X. Because we do know Sony is putting out their own version of a console that is slightly cheaper. Basically, their digital edition is not going to have a disc drive. But I don't think anything's going to hit this lower end where the Series S price is.
What was the storage you said was on those again?
The storage, well, the X has 1 terabyte and the S has 512 gigabytes.
See, correct. That's way more than, that's way more than they even had on the original Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The original Xbox One has 250. Like, I would say that's pretty smart just because, you know, then you, even if you don't have a disc drive for it, you still have so many games downloaded and you can take it anywhere. And now you don't even have to worry about, oh, crap, did I leave something in here?
Mm-hmm.
You know? The real problem, though, is Microsoft's been touting backwards compatibility in a lot of things. And if you're someone who's been an Xbox gamer since the beginning, you might still have a bunch of discs for your original Xbox games. And the only way you can play them is to put the disc in the drive and have it acknowledge that you own it and let you download a copy of it. There's no current way to do that if you buy the Series S, for instance. So that stack of games you've had since the beginning of the Xbox era, you can't play unless you repurchase them, which is annoying. But I don't know that people that have that stack of games that old are going to be the real target audience for the Series S.
No, they're not.
I think this is super interesting is for $300, I think you get a lot of folks who'll get who might be PS5 gamers, and a year or two down the road, if there's some really cool Xbox exclusives that come out, go, for $300, I'm going to get me an Xbox also and play both of them.
Yeah, and for me, I mean, I have an Xbox 360E. I never went to the One. I still have the E, and I don't own one physical game. Everything I got was digital.
Right.
So for me, the smart move for me is like, hey, I'm two generations behind. I want to get something more modern because who knows how long my Xbox 360 is even going to last. You know, they had so many issues with, you know, overheating, et cetera, in the past, although they did fix a lot of that with the E. But for me, I would go with the $299 one because I don't own any physical games. And backwards compatibility for the E, it does say thousands of digital Xbox One and backward compatible Xbox 360 and original Xbox games available at launch. This is saying that you will definitely be able to download the ones that you owned on the One and the 360 and even original Xbox, it's saying here. So it's they're doing the same exact thing, but one is discless. For me, I would definitely choose that one. Price is a main factor for me, of course. Price is just because I got three daughters, you know. I shouldn't be spending any money on gaming, but I like to spend a little bit. So I would definitely go this route. Now, let me, before we go on any farther, let's just finish up some of these specs here. Now, for the GPU, the Series X can handle 12.15 teraflops, where the Series S can only handle 4. So, I mean, that's still... That's still 4 trillion computations per second, but compared to the 12 trillion that the X does, I'm wondering, I mean, they're supposed to run the same games. Are we just going to see majorly enhanced ones, or are we going to see majorly de-enhanced ones for the S? I don't know which way they're going.
The way they've described it is pretty much the only difference is that you will have Xbox Series X games in full 4K up to 120 frames per second, and the Series S is capped at 1440p up to 120 frames per second. There were not going to be any other differences in the games from how they described it other than just your resolution.
And that does make sense because you'd need less power than if you're only running at 1440. Because it's discless, you're not going to have that Blu-ray player. So I know Dave from Digital Soup fame and also his other podcast, Faded Words, his only Blu-ray player he ever owned was his PlayStation 3. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people like that. The only DVD player, I believe, or the first DVD player ever had was, I think, the PlayStation 2. No, he never had that. But he had one of the game systems had a DVD player in it, and that was his first DVD player. So a lot of people are like that, especially if you don't have a lot of room in your home. You're living in a small apartment. You get one unit that, you know, can do double duty. And, you know, if you need that Blu-ray player, well, the only option here would be the Series X. So a lot of people would go for that. All right, the last spec I just want to mention here is the Series X comes with 16 gigs of RAM, where the Series S comes with 10 gigs of RAM. And again, that's probably based on what Chris had said here. It just, you know, when you're running at a lower resolution, you just don't need all those specs, which is pretty nice. Now, the pricing on that, I think Chris sort of mentioned it. I'm trying to remember, but the Series X is $499 and the Series S is $299. So you got a $200 difference here. Now, shortly after Microsoft did this announcement, Sony announced the pricing on their systems, and the PlayStation 5 with the drive is coming in, I believe it was $599, correct?
I don't think any of that's confirmed. They're supposed to be announcing that.
Is that just rumors then? Okay.
They have an event on Wednesday, I think it is, as we record this.
Okay.
Which is supposedly when they're going to announce official pricing. There's rumors of what the pricing are, and then there's other rumors that came out that Sony saw the Microsoft prices and kind of went, oh, crap, and they're reconsidering what the price points are going to be for the PS5.
Yeah, because, I mean, we've been getting numbers for the PS5 for quite a while. I mean, upwards of $700 at one point, you know, they were speculating, which is a crazy amount for a game system. I could never do that. Even in my single days, I don't think I could ever bring myself to spend $700 on a console.
I think Microsoft's plan is they know console sales are almost always at a loss regardless, and their intent is to try and get people hooked to Game Pass.
Mm-hmm. And that totally makes sense, because the Game Pass, even though I've never used it,
it's nice.
It's pretty awesome.
It's very nice. I have it.
I mean, I've contemplated it. Yeah, I think John was telling us about it one time, and just it sounds awesome.
The library is pretty big.
It's the same price a year, you said, if you bought three games at full price, but you have an unlimited amount of games you could try.
It's $15 a month, and you get the library is huge. Like, it's at least 50 or 60 games, and it just keeps expanding. Like,
and every Microsoft first party game day and release gets put on Game Pass. So like when Gears of War 5 came out this last year,
yeah,
the same day it went on sale on shelves, it was on Game Pass. The Game Pass subscribers had it as part of the subscription. So like Halo Infinite, when it finally comes out, and if you're a Game Pass subscriber, there's no reason to go buy the game, because you can just start playing at 12:01 a.m. because you're a Game Pass subscriber and you can just download it.
That is actually very cool. Who wants to wait in line at GameStop, if people even do that anymore? But
no, I don't
remember. They used to line up just at midnight. Yeah, we got to get that new release of
Halo 3. I did it when I was in college. My buddy and I stayed up, got into the midnight release, then went straight back to our respective apartments and played through the campaign on legendary mode on co-op.
Please tell me this was during the dead of winter, so you guys are freezing out there.
What was it, November when that came out? And the GameStop we went to was on the top of a mountain that's been leveled off, basically, to be a shopping center. So it was pretty chilly.
Yeah, I can imagine. I've never waited in line for anything. I've never been one of those midnight release guys, you know, for nothing. I don't know. I don't like lines.
I went out for Black Ops 3, and it was in New Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And at the GameStop by Walmart there.
Yeah.
And there was no line or anything. Me and my friend went there because his dad drove us. And we just walked in, bought it, and left.
Benefits of living in a small town, right?
I know. It was like, it was kind of disappointing, honestly. We were like, oh, there's going to be so many people. And there was no one there. We just sat in the car.
And I was ready to get into fights and everything.
We just like got out, bought it, walked back to the car. He's like, how was it? We got the game.
No waiting 4 or 5 hours. Or lining up the day before to try to be first in line. I have to ask you this. Now, I know this is this shouldn't matter, but it does matter to me. And I think it does matter to other people. But I got to ask you guys about the design and the appearance of the two systems. One of the things that I really dislike about the S is that it's white. And one of the main reasons why is because every console I have in my entertainment stand is black. I have the black of everything. And if I was to get this, it would be my only white console. And it just, I think it would clash. The feng shui is dead at that point.
Well, you could always put a D-brand skin on or something like that. But I actually said the same thing about the PS5, which was, I wish it came in black. Because the PS5 is predominantly a white console. And I said, almost everything I have in my entertainment center, aside from the two Joy-Cons on my Switch, are black or gray.
Yeah, I like black. I like the way it looks. I had one of the original Xbox 360s. One of the main reasons why I got the last generation of the 360, the E, was because it was a black console. And it looks sharp with everything else I have. And I chucked that white one away. Even though it was fully functional, I chucked it in the garbage because I don't want you. You're white. You know, you're going to clash with everything. I love the black look of the Series X. The size difference is amazing. Have you guys seen the pictures side by side?
Yes.
Man, it is way...
It's all about cooling. That's why all these consoles are so big now.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a fridge.
Like a little mini fridge. That's what these are.
Yeah,
I absolutely loved somebody online, and I wish I had artistic ability, but I don't. But somebody put a GameCube skin on it, and they said it looks like just a large GameCube. It's like two GameCubes stacked on top of each other, and that looked awesome. I would buy it if they would actually do that. But of course, Microsoft's not going to make something that looks like a GameCube.
But again, I'm sure there'll be like a D-brand skin or something that gets made where you could skin your Xbox to look like something else. Because I don't know if you watch Metal Jesus Rocks on YouTube. He has a YouTube channel.
Yeah, I've seen a few episodes that he's done.
He has his Xbox One X skinned to look like an original Xbox, like from the OG Xbox. And it's really cool looking. It's just I never have the patience to apply those vinyl wraps because I'm always like, oh, it's wrinkled or it's not quite centered. And it just frustrates me. So I don't do it.
Did he make his controller look like a Duke controller? I hope
he actually had the Duke controller because Hyperkin makes a controller. I think it is called the Duke. It is a plug-in controller that looks just like and plays just like the old Duke controller.
Now, I have fairly large hands, but I'm not like an Andre the Giant. And I used that original controller, of course, because that's what it launched with. But as soon as those S controllers came out, I did swap over to that because when I felt one in the store, put that in my hand, I'm like, oh, this is so much better.
Oh, yeah.
That Duke was just too outrageously large.
I actually bought like the first pair of like wireless controllers that you could buy for Xbox, like the original Xbox.
Were they first party or were they third party? The wireless ones.
They plugged into the Xbox and then I had a battery pack that connected to them.
Yeah, I think I had a Logitech one that did something like that. And there was actually the plug-in part on the original Xbox you could put the memory card into also.
Yeah. And then you could also, we had a TV remote or like a remote for it that you had to plug into that too, that it would pick up the rays.
I purchased wireless off and on, you know, for different systems in the past, but I didn't predominantly use wireless, I think, until PlayStation 3. I think that was the first one because PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox 360 and up, those always just came standard with wireless. For the earlier ones, you had to actually go out and purchase them separate.
Right, and they weren't first-party controllers that were wireless on that generation either, unless you had the Wave Bird on the GameCube. That was a first-party wireless
controller.
Yep, I
did have that
one.
You
can still sell those for big bucks.
No, I don't.
Evidently, the Wave Bird's still a big deal.
I do have a GameCube, but it was a GameCube I purchased within the last 10 years. I purchased it used someplace really cheap. I never hooked it up. I just bought it because I wanted to have it. But my original GameCube, all my old systems, I had sold over the years because I had moved out of state, and I had sold so much stuff. Almost all my gaming stuff I sold. I had a huge collection of retro that I sold it all because I'm like moving out of state, I'm getting married, etc. And now it's like I'm just kicking myself. I'm like, oh man, I wish I still had all that stuff.
I completely get that. And mom's deal always when I was growing up was, well, if you want to get the new Nintendo, you got to get rid of your old Nintendo. So that's why I don't have anything prior to my N64.
Oh, really?
I always traded everything in.
Yep.
And GameStop gave you 50 cents.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah, I've seen so many comedy things online about it on YouTube. they're called Smosh, right? That's a group of...
Yeah.
Okay, Smosh. And they did this thing where they took this game in and they're like, all right, I'd like to turn this in. And he gave them like $2 for it. And then then they take that game right in front of them and they put like a $39.99 sticker on it and put it right on the shelf. And that's how you always felt. I mean, because it really felt like you were getting gypped when you were taking your stuff in.
A lot of the time you don't get a good deal, but if you time things right, like when I got my Xbox One X, it was a time when I learned, hey, there's a bunch of games with the current promos that GameStop is doing that if you trade in, you can actually make more money than they're worth. So I kid you not, I went up and bought like Rory McIlroy PGA Golf from every Walmart in town, like a few other games. And I traded in games I spent like $200 on to get $550 of store credit because that's how much the bonuses were worth.
Dang.
On it. And that's what I used to pay off my Xbox One X. I was like, okay, here you go. Put that all towards an Xbox now.
Really? So you had all these shrink wrap copies of this single game.
You had to open them. They couldn't take them if they were shrink wrapped.
Well, that's weird.
So I sat in my car, opened all of the games, and then just put them in a new bag and walked into the two different GameStops. And if you really wanted to get shady, I didn't do this, but people on Reddit did. They found out that because it was buy two, get one free was a promo they were doing, you could buy three Switch games, used games, at $54.99, and they were giving an extra 20% trade-in credit on what you sent back in. So you'd actually make about $5 in every Switch game you traded in. So you could just keep trading in across stores and make store credit is what they found out. I did not do that because that felt too shady to me. But I did not feel bad about going to Walmart and buying up the last copies they had of certain games just to go and trade them in at GameStop, because that wasn't me buying a product at GameStop to turn around and trade it in another GameStop.
The only shady thing I ever did with a GameStop, and was it even a GameStop? I'm trying to remember. There was Funko Land and there was Babbage's. So I can't remember.
You mean games too.
I believe GameStop purchased all of these companies, I think, over time.
I think so.
But I can't remember exactly which one it was. But this was during the PS1 era. So I had a PS1 and all of a sudden it stopped accepting inputs from the controller ports. Wasn't the controllers, because I actually went and purchased new controllers. Tried to put them in and nothing was working. It wasn't accepting any input. So I figured something went wrong with the actual inputs on the circuit board. So I took it to whatever GameStop or whatever it was and to trade it in. Now, I couldn't trade it in for another PlayStation because I'd be like, what are you doing, buddy? So I traded it in for a Sega Saturn. I'm probably the only person in the world that ever traded in an original PlayStation for a Sega Saturn. But they took my PlayStation. They plugged it in, didn't put any controllers in it, put a game in there, started it up, came up on the TV. They're like, all right, you're good to go. And then they took the PlayStation. I took the Sega Saturn and some games, because I turned in all the games too, because of course I couldn't use them. And I had the Sega Saturn for, it wasn't very long. And I'm like, ugh. You know, there was a few games that were good, but the games that I really liked, like Madden and those type of ones, it was like, oh, so much better on the PlayStation. But that, yeah, that's the only kind of shady thing I ever did. I wonder if they ever sold that, and then some guy comes back and is like, hey, these controller ports aren't working. Nothing I do can get these.
Well, see, I'm surprised they didn't actually test it with a controller plugged into it, because anytime I've traded in a console, granted, this is more recent consoles, they've always plugged it in and then the controller and tested like all the inputs and stuff on it.
Well, maybe it was because of me. They changed how they That's accept stuff. What it
is. There you go.
Jason's the one that ruined everything for everyone.
That makes sense. Way to go, Jason. Jeez.
Yeah. Well, I don't care. I got my Sega Saturn. So.
Yeah, okay. I think they won it.
Do you still have the Sega Saturn?
No, I don't.
Yep. See, so you don't. You lost.
I played some of the like Burning Rangers and stuff. I played some of the good ones in emulation. I'm a big emulator guy. Okay, going back to the images here, the style and how these systems look. The other thing, besides it being white, the other thing that I really, really hate about the appearance of the S is that big black circle grid on the top. I don't know why, but it just bugs me so bad. I'm like, why? I mean, I'm assuming it's for heating or something, but I just think it's ugly, and it looks like it's bulbous, like it rolls up, so it's not like you could put anything on top of it, you know, like you do your PlayStation 4. Like I
don't
want to
put anything on
mine.
Top. That's a heat vent. You'll cook your Xbox if you cover that vent.
That's what I was wondering. I think it's so ugly. I mean, I understand if you're going to lay it, you know, horizontally, you're going to need that. But they didn't do that on the Series X. I mean, you lay it horizontally, it's still going to come out the end.
Well, so the difference is how they're dissipating heat. Like if you look at the Series X, if it's placed vertically, all the predominant area where the fans blow and pull from is the top of the console. Mm-hmm. They didn't do that with the Series S because of the different form factor.
Yeah, but why are we laying our discs straight up and down instead of on their sides anymore, though?
The disc drive doesn't care, though.
I always put mine horizontally. I just don't like them vertically. I'm
just always afraid of them falling over if they're vertical. But the Series X has got a big butt, so it's not really going to topple over.
The original Wii. I mean, you could lay that either way. I always just had it laying vertically. I didn't put it in that little stand. I mean, horizontally. I didn't put it in the little stand and have it standing straight up and down. I
put it in the stand because it looked cooler.
See, I knew everyone, they put it in the stand. I didn't know you could lay it down, to be honest. I never knew that you could do that.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, you got to try things. You got to be adventurous.
See, I never owned one. So.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
I got the Wii because, you know, I had kids. Basically, what it became was Just Dance console. That's all it was. Every Just Dance game I had, and they would just dance. That's all they would do is just dance constantly.
My wife still uses her Wii for Just Dance. And in fact, they're still publishing current day Just Dance games for the Wii. Like Just Dance 2020 or whatever came out on the Wii.
Oh, my word.
You know what? I tried it, but I'm an old dude, and I don't want to dance to Shakira. You know, I want to dance to Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. You know, I'm old.
That's why they make Guitar Hero and Rock Band.
Right? No, I am not musical. I can't play a real guitar, of course, because I'm not musical. But you think, okay, you're a gamer. You can play Guitar Hero, right? I'm like, no, I couldn't. I don't have rhythm.
It's just hand-eye coordination.
The most rhythm I have is playing Mario and Luigi, Superstar Saga, and timing my hits onto Bowser's head. That's
nice callback.
Oh, thank you. that's about all I have.
It's not about rhythm. You just got to hit the buttons. It's just about timing.
Oh, I understand. Hey, now back to the Xbox Series S. Even though it only has 512 gigs, of course, you can still do the external hard drive. And
so it does have USB ports in it?
Yeah, and here's something. I haven't done any research on this, but it says expandable storage, and it says 1 terabyte expansion card. So is there a card slot where you could put some type of maybe like an SSD, like a 1 terabyte SSD into it?
Maybe.
Yeah, it's another one. It's a memory card, basically, that's another NVMe SSD thing that basically acts as a memory card that has the fast read-write speeds. Because they said that all of the Series X games or games that are optimized for Series X have to be on the internal hard drive or on one of these expansion slots to permit that fast loading capability.
Okay.
Oh. Now, your old school Xbox One 360 OG Xbox games, you could load on an external hard drive and just plug in via USB. It'll run fine.
I don't think Red Dead Redemption 2 will let me do that because I've been trying to download it and it won't let me download it at the moment because my internal hard drive is too full.
What size do you have in your
system? You run it on external.
2 terabyte. Or I have two gigabytes in my system, or 250 gigabytes, and then 2 terabyte external.
Okay. And I don't have an Xbox, a current Xbox system, you know, one of the ones. I do know on my Wii U, I should say, I can run an external hard drive, which I do with all the games on it. So is that the way it is with Xbox Ones? You cannot put the games on an external?
I think certain games, like big ones, like Red Dead Redemption or Modern Warfare 3 or something like that, you can't put on external hard drives.
Okay. So can you move some of your other games that will run off that external onto it so you free up some room then for your Red Dead Redemption?
I mean, I could, but Modern Warfare 3 is so big, it takes up almost 150 of my gigabytes already.
And I'd the next have to time delete they patch it, it'll take up to 120 gigabytes.
Yeah, I'd probably have to delete it just to put on Red Dead Redemption is the only problem I see with this.
So what's cool is that they do have this expansion port here, which will make it easy for the end user just to add an extra terabyte.
Which is going to be nice.
Yeah, very, very nice.
but not cheap. Well, from all rumors on what these memory cards are going to cost, they're not cheap.
So do you have to get a specific one made by Microsoft for this, or can you grab any NVMe card and put it in there?
It is a Microsoft branded version of this that is specifically going to fit this port.
Yeah,
I think Microsoft is making one and Seagate is making one, I think is what was originally announced, something like that. But yeah, you have to buy what matches the standard for the Xbox and was designed to fit the Xbox.
So
we're sort of back to those memory card days.
Isn't that kind of like running a monopoly, though?
Yeah, it's like going the way of Apple, where you got to buy our memory. Now, if you want to go from 16 gigs to 32 gigs, that's $700, even though you could do that for $30 if you bought just, you know, any brand. I'm an Apple guy. I love Apple, but I hate their pricing schemes.
Yeah.
You know,
yes,
the way they do that. It's just insane. But this is not an Apple show.
So one thing I think we should bring up on this that Microsoft's doing that's kind of compelling, and they actually plugged it in their press release they had to put out early because this all leaked out ahead of time, is are you guys familiar with what they call their Xbox All Access plans?
Yeah, we did talk about that. I refresh my memory on what it is again. Oh, that isn't that where you can buy it, you know, slowly?
Yeah, you can effectively purchase your Xbox through Microsoft or an approved third-party vendor that partners with Microsoft, and you can get an interest-free loan that you pay off over 24 months. So effectively, what they're doing, and I've got it pulled up on their website right now, is if you wanted to get the Series S and you would pay $24.99 a month for 24 months with no interest, and you would also get 24 months of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate as part of that. So when you do the math, it's actually $20 cheaper or something like that to buy the Xbox bundled with Game Pass and pay over time interest-free. And they're doing the same thing for the Series X, where you pay $35 a month. I think we did the math, and it was like $40 or $50 cheaper to buy it through this all-access subscription model, pay it off over 2 years, get your 2 years of Game Pass Ultimate, and you save $40 or $50 when it's all said and done.
Did you factor in the $60 a year that you're spending for, or the cheapest amount that you're spending for Xbox Live a year?
Live comes with that too.
Yes, because Game Pass Ultimate bundles Xbox Live Gold with the Game Pass.
Oh, it does?
Yeah, so you're getting
all of it. PC version of Game Pass. This is the one that normally costs $15 a month.
Oh,
and
I didn't know that.
And then they also announced that EA Play, which is EA's version of Game Pass, in December is getting bundled in with Xbox Game Pass. So if you were subscribing to that, that was another $5 a month. So Game Pass becomes a bigger value proposition. And I fully admit I'm an Xbox fanboy. I've been told that before. It's where I do the bulk of my gaming. They make a pretty compelling argument to say, okay, we know that shelling out $500 in the middle of a pandemic is a tough thing to do, but if you want to get the new console, $35 a month means order takeout a couple times less a month, and get your Xbox instead. Oh, and you'll get Game Pass with it too. And you'll save a little money when it's all said
and
done.
Yeah, I mean, that's a smart way to go. I mean, I think CSK is going to go that route. I think you've talked him into it.
Yeah. Plus you have...
He's just like, yeah, you do.
Yeah, because Xbox is so much nicer because it can do everything. Especially, I think I would probably get the fridge too. Just because
I'm going to get the fridge. My wife wants the fridge also.
Well, I like the fridge.
Going this route, you'd be stupid not to go with the fridge, seriously. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I remember we talked about this on Digital Soup back with the Xbox One when they were doing this. Or were they talking about for the future of the Xbox Series X? I can't remember at this point now, but this was definitely like 8-9 months ago. So I don't know if they were talking about one. Is this available for one? Were you able to purchase the one this way also?
So you could do it with the one and the one X. I think when the one X was announced, that's when they first unveiled this.
That's
not
right.
A ton of people were super intrigued on it. But what was cool, and had you been doing this model, they put an upgrade method in there that if you're 18 months into your plan, you can upgrade to the Xbox Series X if you're an all-access subscriber. So like when they announced the Series X last year, I think they said something to that effect of, hey, if you're an all-access subscriber, there's an upgrade model built into being a subscriber, which allowed you to then, after 18 months, I think, trade in and upgrade to the new model Xbox that's coming out. It's too late now for anyone to start that plan and decide to upgrade. I would not suggest anyone do the $23 a month to get an Xbox One and then upgrade 18 months from now.
And that's sort of like going and buying an Intel Mac right now with the ARM right. coming out just at the end of the year. All right, so I you kind of let us know how you feel, Chris. You're an Xbox fanboy. Now, I know you have an Xbox also, John, right? An Xbox One.
Yep.
This upcoming generation here. So are you both looking at just going Xbox? Neither of you are thinking PS5 right now?
No, I'd probably just go Xbox. I'm a one console person. I don't know. I'm not big on buying other ones. I wish I would have got a PS4. I might get one when I'm older and have like a start a family and have my own house and everything. But until then, I'm just going to keep with one console.
Now, the thing with, and I've talked about this with Dave too, before we get to you, Chris, I'm sorry. I was thinking about it. So I wanted to throw it out here, was that PS4 has some awesome exclusives. PlayStation in general has awesome exclusives. If you were to get a console, say you had a high-end PC and you wanted a console, I always recommended going with a PlayStation just because you'd get those exclusives, because a lot of the Xbox exclusives are also on PC.
Correct.
So yeah. You wouldn't, if you have a high-end PC, there's no reason to get an Xbox. Get that PlayStation for those exclusives. Like the PS4, man, Spider-Man kicks butt. Days Gone kicks butt. There's so many awesome exclusives on the PlayStation that you can't get anywhere else. It's like a Nintendo. I mean, I always buy a Nintendo too, because that's the only place to get your Marios, your Zeldas, etc. So I always have a Nintendo in one console.
But see, usually Xbox has more. I feel like, doesn't Xbox have more games that are compatible via PC and Xbox, like console-wise?
They do have games that enable cross-play between PC and console.
Yeah, so
more so than Sony does. Yeah. Because remember, there was this big hubbub for a long time that if you played Fortnite, you couldn't play on a PlayStation and be able to log in with your Fortnite account and things like that,
yeah.
Which they've since gone and corrected. But
yeah. Sony doesn't like to share. Like, they just do their own thing.
So I agree with you. Here's the thing. Were I Sony, I wouldn't want to share either, because sharing hurts my market share.
Yeah, but it also caused... I don't know. I don't like that they don't like to share. I mean...
I completely agree with you. And in fact, one of the biggest things that I've been a proponent of is Phil Spencer, who heads up Microsoft's Xbox division, has always said he wants to make it so that games can be played anywhere, on any console, things like that. And he's well known for the fact that, like, when he plays Destiny 2, it's not always on his Xbox. You can also catch him playing games on, like, his PS4 and things like that. And he's gone out and done interviews and been complimentary and congratulatory towards the other hardware vendors out there, and talked about wanting to be able to get games to them and stuff like that, and has a very different mindset than a lot of other folks in the industry. Although you could pessimistically say he has to do that because Microsoft is last in this generation's console race.
Mm-hmm. But I do like that mindset though, because then no matter what, everyone's going to be playing something good. Like, it's like Nikola Tesla, you know, no one even knows anything about him, but he was the one who basically crafted this whole world that we live in right now.
Yep.
And like that's the mindset that people need to be in, I think, in anything, not only in Xbox, or not only in consoles and gaming, but in life.
Yeah, and Tesla, he was pretty awesome in Command & Conquer Red Alert 2, also, you know.
Yeah, yep. Killing all those Nazi vampires.
Nazi vampires?
Yeah.
I don't think there were vampires in Red Alert.
Him and Abraham Lincoln.
You know, I never watched that movie. Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer, is that what you're talking
about? Yeah.
And yep. I never seen that. I do agree with you guys. If I was to go with one of them this next generation, I probably would go Xbox also. Just because I've kind of alternated. Like, I had the Xbox 360. I didn't have a PS3. I did get a PS3 later on because Dave sent me his that had a bum drive, and I just used it for digital downloads. But
that works.
Yep. But then the next generation, I didn't get a one. I got a PS4. So I'm kind of alternating here, but I always get the Nintendo systems too. I already discussed that, because you got to have your Marios and your Zeldas. But then I think next generation, I probably will go Xbox. And with this pay-as-you-go,
it's their all-access plan. It's just a monthly installment.
With that, I might even go the big boy instead of the S.
That's honestly what's got both my wife and I considering. We weren't really going to upgrade anytime soon, but then they announced that, and I went, you know, that makes it a lot more palatable to be like, okay, we can upgrade now and not have to worry about, oh God, $500 out of my paycheck. What am I going to scrimp on for the next couple months to make it so that
I think they upped the price a little bit and then gave us the plan so that way they could drop, like the price actually will drop.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
Possibly. And also you take a look at Sony's next lineup. It definitely sounds like they're going to be more expensive. I mean, they're going to probably try to match, but I mean, the two numbers I heard, which Chris did say it's not official, it's just rumors right now, but the two numbers I heard was for the PS5, the big boy PS5 was $599, and for the all digital version was $399. So $100 more on both ends. And if that does come to fruition, I mean, that I think a lot of people are going to maybe skip this next generation with Sony, because that is a lot of money. Even for those exclusives, that's a lot of money. If you just want next generation fun, you want to do it as cheaply as you possibly can. And if they do go that route, I think Xbox might take the next generation.
It's possible.
It is true.
Or Nintendo. You know, they're still always in the game. If they come out with that Switch 2 or the Switch Pro, like I'm hoping, they might take it again. This pandemic really helped Nintendo. They sold so many units the last, 6 months because of this pandemic.
Oh, I could imagine.
This pandemic has really messed with the video game market. Like, the retro gaming market prices have spiked and everything. Oh, yeah. Like, trying to find a console nowadays is a nightmare just because everyone's going, I can't go out and do anything. I'm going to play games.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I'm one of the essentials, so I haven't missed a day of work, unfortunately. I kind of would like to have a little time off and just a little R&R and maybe play some games. But no, I actually worked more hours during the pandemic than I did pre-pandemic. Now, where's my hazard pay for being essential? That's all I'm saying.
Right?
Good luck, huh?
Yeah, I guess. All right, any parting words on the future of the Xbox, gentlemen?
Live long and prosper.
Okay, Spock.
I think everything looks interesting, and I am curious to see Sony's upcoming event to see what Sony is doing that is different or similar to Xbox and Microsoft to see how this shapes the ongoing generation of things. I don't believe in the whole console war thing, but I do think that they take lessons from each other, and both systems being competitive is good for gamers in general.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you have to have competition. If you don't have competition, you just rest on your laurels. It's like, I'm just going to throw this out here because I love football games. The Madden series, ever since the 2K lost the license for the NFL, I believe the innovation has really gone down, because when they were competing year to year, it was like, oh, this year Madden's better than the 2K series. Oh, no, 2K has all these features Madden doesn't have. And it was awesome. That was such an awesome time. And it just seems like maybe every 2 to 3 years you'll get like a big jump up for Madden. But otherwise, it's like every other year is like, oh, just a roster update. That's it.
Yeah.
So you got to have that competition. And these two behemoths battling each other with Nintendo always lurking, it's good for us gamers. Definitely really good for us.
I think it'd be better if it was more of a friendly competition, though. But then I think all of the consoles would be the same. Like, yeah. I like how video games do it, like how even Call of Duty used to do it with Treyarch and Activision. But I think if they would share all of their information with each other, you'd get video games way better. So, like, if Treyarch would give Activision all their information on the last game, so then now they have all that information to build up on, and then the next, you know, I think it would make the games better.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Probably not ever going to happen, though, right?
No, probably not, because people are too selfish.
they're just selfish.
Too proud.
Well, you spend a lot of time working on something, you don't want to just give away your IP.
No, I completely understand why. I'm just saying that's why.
I understand. I mean, the world should be nicer than it is right now. I mean, 2020 is insane. Now we got fire tornadoes over in California. It's like insane.
That's terrifying.
I know. We were watching some videos of it, and my girl's like, I didn't know that was possible. But yeah, just this year, what's going to happen in the last few months? I mean, can anything worse happen? Yeah,
alien.
It could.
Don't say that.
I know.
Don't alien. Say that.
Wait a second. I got some wood here. All right. All right, everybody. Well, we've reached the end of another spellbinding episode of Geekly Speaking. Now, before we get out of here, I just want to give, you know, my guests an opportunity to help plug their other projects here. So I'm going to go around the room, virtual room, I should say, because they're not in here with me. But let's start with John. Hey, John, anything you want the listeners to know about you, about where they can catch you. Are you anywhere on the digital stratosphere?
Yeah, you can find me in Rainbow Six Siege lobbies, randomly lurking. Gamertag is Sassiest Cup. If you find me, just, I don't know, send me a message.
I'll do that too. I'll try to look for you in there.
All right.
All right, how about you, Chris? Where can people hear some more of Chris Farrell?
So if you want to hear more of my shenanigans, go on over to GunnaGeek.com. I'm on a couple different podcasts there, and you can find all of those shows that are on our network there. If you want to play some games, you can find me on Xbox Live as Spidey616 or on PSN as TheSpidey616 because someone poached my gamer tag.
Oh, that was you. I'm so sorry.
I was Spidey161. That is very insane. We're on the same wavelength there. All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for listening to another episode of Geekly Speaking, and I'm going to throw this on over to Chloe. Hey, Chloe, let everybody know where they can find out more about us.
Who's Chloe?
All right. I'll take it from here. If you want to follow the antics of these gaming geeks, then be sure to head over to geeklyspeaking.com for great articles, reviews, and a building gaming community. You can also follow them on Twitter at Speaking Geekly and Instagram at Geekly Speaking. So until next time, it's unfortunately game over.
This was the Geekly Speaking Podcast.